Welcome back, everybody, to this week's episode of Ask a Catholic Therapist. My name is Dr. Matt Bruninger, and today we have a question from Stuart Bell. It's just a great question. So let's get into it. Stuart asks, do you feel that there's a particular counseling modality that best connects with Catholic-Christian understanding of the human person? If so, which one? Or perhaps there's an area where more collaboration needs to happen between therapists and priests or spiritual directors. So is there a counseling modality that best connects with a Catholic understanding of the human person? That's a tremendous question. And here's my answer. Yes, there is. Different theories to varying degrees are consistent and coherent with a Catholic vision of the human person. Some of them are more wrong, some of them are less wrong. Which one best connects with the Catholic vision of the human person? I don't know. I actually don't. I say that because as of now, there are 500 different therapies. There are 500 different unique therapeutic modalities. And I know very few of those 500, to be honest. And I'm sure that there is some therapy modality that was created by, you know, some woman or some man in rural Nebraska that's, you know, just utterly faithful to a Catholic Christian vision of the human person, and all of the practices and principles and interventions flow forth from it. And but I don't know it. So I'm sure there is one that's very, very closely connected to a Catholic vision of the human person, and I'm very sure that I don't know it. Here's what I will say. I'm familiar with a local woman, Sister Catherine Caldwell, who's a counselor. She's also a TOR, Third Order Franciscan Sister. She developed a Christ-centered CBT. And so I think I would say that's pretty, you know, well rooted in a certain Catholic anthropology. I know that the folks at IPS, the Institute for the Psychological Sciences, just came out with a book called The Catholic Christian Meta Model of the Human Person. The Catholic Christian Meta Model of the Human Person. And it's a big old thick sucker, and it goes into sort of a Catholic anthropology or a Catholic understanding of human nature. And I'm sure any interventions or therapies that arise from that will be closely aligned to a Catholic vision of the human person. So that book is worth checking out. If you're a therapist or counselor, I really think that text is probably worth checking out. But you might be asking that question because you wondered yourself, well, it seems like maybe the therapy that's most faithful to Catholic anthropology will be the most effective. So that's the one I want to do. And here's what's fascinating. Like I said, to varying degrees, the major therapies, the ones that are most well known. So let's say psychodynamic therapies, behavioral therapies, cognitive therapies, and mindfulness-based therapies. The major therapies that are sort of well known, you know, the truth about them is they're all about equally effective at treating most disorders. Let me say that again. They're all equally effective at treating most disorders. And so this was called the Dodo Bird Verdict, and it came out in the 1930s, 1936, by an American psychiatrist named Saul Rosenzweig, and he took the title from, you know, Alice in Wonderland and the Dodo Bird that sent all these characters on a race, and then when they came back, he gave prizes to all of them. That all have won and all deserve prizes. Well, this is the idea with psychotherapy, that as different as each therapy claims it is, as unique as each therapy claims it is, they're all equally effective and they all get prizes. And that finding has been, you know, continuously found. And so, you know, in the trauma literature, there's all this debate over what's the most effective trauma therapy. Is it exposure? Is it EMDR? Is it cognitive processing therapy, or, you know, CBT for trauma? And they're all about equally effective. They're all about equally effective. And we find this across disorders and across major therapies. Why is that, though? especially if they have varying degrees of faithfulness to sort of a Catholic anthropology, a Catholic understanding of human nature, why are they all equally effective? Well, this is what I'm really interested in, sort of in psychology. It's called the common factors approach. It's because all of the major therapies that are effective all have some common set of factors, a thing within each one that makes them effective. And here, let me lay this sort of first thing down. The most basic fundamental truth of the human person is that we are social creatures. We're made for interactions with others. We're made for union and communion with others. Since we're made in the image and likeness of a God who is communion, a communion of persons, we are made for union and communion with others. We're also made by a God who is love, right? Deus caritas est, God is love. And being made in the image and likeness of a God who is love entails to some extent that we are made for love and we're made to love, right? Made to be loved and to love. And every therapy starts with a relationship of trust and security in which the therapist conveys love to the client. The therapist conveys love to the client. And to some extent, why do I think all therapies are sort of equally effective? It's because it plays to those fundamental truths of who we are. We need communion and we need love. And good therapists, regardless of what modality they're practicing from, give us relationship, right? Healthy, intimate relationship, and they give us love. So that's partially why I think all these therapies are effective, and I think that actually taps into something sort of fundamentally true about human nature. Whether a therapy would explicitly acknowledge that or not, all of them, when practiced by a good therapist, right, give us that. So I'm really interested in this common factors approach, and what are these common factors? Now, why should we pay attention to whether or not a therapy is aligned with the Catholic understanding of the human person? I think it really becomes problematic, particularly when a therapy or a therapeutic intervention could recommend a behavior or action that contradicts the truths of the faith or our moral obligations. I think it's most problematic, and most of us are concerned when a theory or a therapeutic modality could potentially recommend an intervention that goes against the truths of reason, the truths of the faith, and our moral obligations. And so we have to be mindful of that. And Pope Pius XII said something about this. Back in 1953, he said, let me see if I can find it. He said, and I quote, "Theoretical and practical psychology should not lose sight of neither the truths established by reason and faith, nor obligatory moral principles." So certainly we need to be on guard for where a therapy's theory or underlying theory could lead us astray in that way. But look, there's so many different therapies out there, and some therapies focus on changing our thoughts, right? Predominantly focus on our intellect and changing our thoughts. Other therapies predominantly focus on changing our feelings, helping us explore, understand, and gain a sense of regulation in our passions. And then finally, other therapies focus on our social interactions and social relationships. And so we have cognitive behavioral therapy, focuses on our intellect. Emotion-focused therapy focuses on our passions, and interpersonal therapies focus on our relationships with others. What's fascinating is no matter which one you use, they're equally effective. Why? It's because, and I think we oftentimes forget this, we're a body-soul composite. We're a unity, which means that when you focus on our thoughts and changing our thoughts using CBT, that ultimately has an effect on our relationships, our interpersonal relationships, and brings order and reason into our passions. When you focus on emotions, understanding them, regulating them, etc., it oftentimes frees us up to be more loving, open, honest in our relationships, which changes the nature of our social relationships, which then changes our beliefs about ourselves, others, and the world. When you focus on relationships, it changes our beliefs about ourselves, others, and the world, and it helps us regulate our feelings. So which therapy should we use? All of those therapies touch on something true about man. We're social creatures. We have passions, we have an intellect, and a will. And so whether you choose to focus on the intellect, the will, the passions, or our social nature, you're going to have a positive effect if you're a good therapist. So which one should you start with? Which one should you focus on? Well, I think that that actually depends on which one you feel most comfortable with and which one the client's going to most resonate with. I try to use the therapies that flow most naturally from my gifts and talents, that fit most naturally with my gifts and talents, and the way I tend to be in the world, and which ones I think will be most helpful to the client. Some clients have a really hard time focusing on their thoughts. Some clients have a really hard time opening up with emotions or engaging in an interpersonal relationship that's vulnerable, intimate, and open. So I'll go and start wherever it's going to be most beneficial to the client. The research doesn't bear out that one therapy or one modality is more effective than the others. Now, in terms of underlying theories that might be most consistent with Catholic principles, let me just look at maybe three major therapies here, real quick. I'll look at humanistic and person-centered therapies, cognitive behavioral therapy, and mindfulness-based therapies. If you think about the humanistic or person-centered therapies, of whom Carl Rogers was the father, they thought that human beings had what was called an actualizing tendency. That is, human beings sort of know that we have this natural desire to exercise our capacities to their fullest, that we have an innate desire to sort of thrive and to allow our capacities to grow and be maintained. This is according to Rogers, this was like our deepest motivation, was to develop our capacities, right? To get better, to thrive, to flourish. And along with that, he thought that we had something called organismic valuing. And this is, we had a fundamental sense of what would allow us to grow and thrive and what wouldn't be good for us. And so I think, look, does it need to be baptized a bit by Catholic thought? Sure, but I think one might say that organismic valuing is something similar to a conscience. And we could try to translate it into Catholic language as a conscience, which is the most fundamental law written on the human heart: do good and avoid evil. Right? Do the things that will allow you to thrive and flourish and avoid those that will lead to death. And certainly, we know that our conscience needs to be formed, shaped, and educated. But there's some truth to this idea that we have at least a vague sense from a very young age of good and bad, right and wrong. And so I think that's sort of consistent with what Rogers is saying. And we can hone it, shape it, sort of tighten it a bit, but there's some resonance there. He also thought that our most innate need was to be prized, valued, accepted, and loved. He called this positive self-regard. That seems true from a Catholic perspective. He also thought that tremendous problems arose when our desire to be loved, right? Our desire to be loved, we learned that we would only be loved by certain people if we did what they wanted us to do, rather than to follow what we thought was right for ourselves, to follow our organismic valuing. And so he called these conditions of worth. We have these, I'll be loved if I do this, but now I'm in tension. Do I try to get love from people or do I follow what I think is good for me? And that's where he thought problems arose. And there's something to this that we should, we can sometimes be brought into this tension of doing what God wants us to do, follow what we believe God is calling to us for us to do, and trying to maintain the love of others who might not appreciate, see, or value what God wants for us to do. And that can cause tension, problems, anxiety, right? Rogers thought that the way you sort of fix all of these problems is by creating the right conditions in an interpersonal relationship. And some of those conditions were you had to be genuine, vulnerable, and convey unconditional positive regard. Something like love. I think we could call it love. Baptize it, call it love. And so this means that what I'm doing is I'm freeing that person up to be seen for who and how they are, and that this removes some of the anxiety and fear that arises from the conditions of worth that have been placed on them. Now, is this a perfectly Catholic theory? No. But does it touch on some pretty Catholic things? I think it does. Does he get concupiscence or the fact that our desires can be twisted and our intellect is dimmed? No, that's not in his theory. So I think we have to be careful when we say man knows what's good for him and what will help him thrive. I think we have some sense of that, but that his theory doesn't account for sin. None of the theories in psychotherapy account for sin. That sometimes we choose what isn't good for us, what we don't want, right? That our desires can be twisted. In fairness, Freud probably got some of that right. But let's talk about CBT a little bit. CBT, I think, has some pretty strong resonance with a Catholic anthropology, in that CBT says, look, most of your problems arise from distorted thoughts, irrational or unreasonable thoughts. That you have really, really strong feelings that are disproportionate to reality because your thoughts are off. And you act in unhealthy and unhelpful ways because your thoughts are off. And so CBT says, look, if you can make your thoughts more rational, that is, fit the evidence better, then you will act and feel the way you should, in a way that's proportionate to reality. And so CBT teaches you to focus on, from a Catholic perspective, what we would call the intellect. And this works sort of nicely with a Thomistic understanding of the human person. St. Thomas thought that we had an intellect, will, and passions, right? Feelings. And so the intellect is concerned with the truth, knowing the truth, apprehending the truth. And the will takes what's in the intellect, right, and desires it under the aspect of the good. So it's important from a Thomistic perspective that the intellect sort of apprehend what is true, so that the will can desire it appropriately under the aspect of good. And then with this truth, right, in the intellect, with reasonableness in the intellect, that can filter down into the passions, that reason can gain control over the passions, bring order to the passions. But in order for reason to bring order to the passions, it has to hold truths, it has to be true, it has to apprehend the truth. And so CBT tries to help us have true beliefs, true thoughts, which then allows us to choose better, to choose well, and to bring reason into our passions, into our feelings. So I think that can be massaged and brought into a Catholic framework with, like, pretty readily. Lastly, mindfulness-based therapies. I actually really like a lot of these mindfulness-based therapies, and I'll tell you why. One, they have very little explicit things to say about human nature, which can be helpful and harmful, right? But here's what I think they get right. Fundamentally, the mindfulness-based therapies say this, and I'm thinking about, in particular here, ACT, which stands for Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. ACT says that we spend too much time and we cause a lot of emotional suffering and pain by trying to avoid our suffering. We spend so much of our life trying to avoid suffering that we're not able to pursue the kind of life we want. So what this mindfulness-based therapy tries to do is help you clarify what's deeply meaningful, what really matters to you, and to learn how to hold your suffering as you pursue what is meaningful. It doesn't try to get rid of your suffering. It doesn't focus on diminishing your suffering. It says that sort of excessively focusing on trying to diminish our suffering is actually the cause of most of our problems. What we need to learn to do is bring our suffering with us as we pursue what matters. I think this can be translated nicely into a Catholic vision of the human person, right? A Catholic worldview, in that Christ promises us the cross. And this life is about hearing an answer in God's call in our life and picking up our cross and following Him. And this is what ACT invites us to do. Now, ACT says that what you need to do is clarify your own values. So ACT doesn't appreciate that there's an objective moral order or that there's a hierarchy of values. I think that's where it needs to be baptized and sort of made Catholic. But what we would say is something like, we need to clarify our vocation, God's call in our life, the gifts and talents that God gives us that show us what He wants and desires for us. And we need to pursue that. And rather than getting distracted by trying to diminish or get rid of our suffering, we need to learn to hold uncomfortable feelings, bodily sensations, unwanted thoughts, unwanted memories, negative, intrusive thoughts. We need to learn to hold these and bring them with us as the cross. Bring them with us as we pursue God's call in our life. And so I think that fits really nicely with the Catholic worldview. And so look, are any one of these perfect? No. Do they all need to be sort of baptized and translated a little bit? Yes. But the truth is, what you want to look out for, what's most important to avoid, is prescribing any action, intervention that might go against the truths of the faith, the truths of reason, or our moral obligations. And if you don't do that, I think you can be about equally effective in whichever therapy you choose to use, because they all have common factors. They all do certain things. They provide a loving relationship. They provide union and communion with another. They all foster hope or expectancy. They all have a story to tell that makes sense of the person's problem and gives them a way to get out of that problem, right? Instills hope by giving them rituals to engage in to get out of the problem. So I think part of the fun of psychotherapy is trying to figure out how to take some of these theories and bring them or translate them into a Catholic worldview. None of them are perfect. Some are maybe more noxious than others, but they're all about equally effective. So if you can take what's good, retain it, translate it, you know, you can generally feel free to use most of them. Last thing I'll say is I think that's a pretty Thomistic way of approaching the world. St. Thomas predominantly used Aristotle to explicate and shed light on the truths of the faith. Now, he didn't swallow Aristotle wholesale. He took what he could use in Aristotelian thought, and what didn't work, and he got rid of. But he retained what he could. And he also engaged in Islamic philosophers, right? And so we shouldn't be afraid to engage these other theories and therapies and modalities and take them and try to appropriate them to what extent we can, and where they're helpful, where they're true, and then translate them, right? Bring them into our worldview. And that video went a little bit long, but I hope it was helpful. It's a great question. Great topic. I'm sure there'll be more to say about this in the future. If you like this video, feel free to subscribe. Hope you liked it, and we'll see you next week.